Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Monash IVF Group Full Year Results 2018 conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. David Morris, CEO, and Mr. Michael Knaap, CFO. Please go ahead.
Good morning and welcome to the Monash IVF Group 2018 full year result. With me today is our CFO, Michael Knaap, who will be presenting our financial results. We will be presenting the document which is available on the ASX website and the Monash IVF Group website. As a brief introduction to the company, Monash IVF Group is a leading provider of fertility care, diagnostics and women's ultrasound services. We achieved the world's first pregnancy in 1973, and since that time, and with our help, over 40,000 babies have been born. We operate out of our 22 fertility clinics and 18 ultrasound clinics in Australia and Malaysia. We have 106 fertility specialists and sonologists, who are supported by a team of over 125 scientists and over 400 nursing, allied health and corporate personnel. Please now turn to page 3 of the presentation for the FY18 financial headlines. Revenue in FY18 was $150.6 million, down 2.9% on PCP. NPAT was $21.4 million, down 27.9% on PCP, which is broadly in line with guidance. We had strong cash conversion of 93.3%, and in FY18, a total fully franked dividend of 6 cents. Our ARS Australia business has been significantly impacted by the departure of a Victorian fertility specialist in September 2017. However, ARS Australia premium service business, including this departure, remains solid, demonstrating stimulated cycle growth of 3% in FY18 over PCP. We have recruited 8 fertility specialists across Australia and Malaysia. Our ARS international growth continues to be strong, demonstrating stimulated cycle growth of 23.2% in FY18 over PCP and contributed 5.8% of group revenue. Our diagnostic services have grown, including NIPT volume of 32.4% and ultrasound volume growth of 0.9%. We continue to build our in-house capabilities and expand our ultrasound footprint. Our long-term performance has been solid and, as mentioned in FY18, has been significantly impacted by the departure of a specialist. If you now turn to page 6, I will go through in more detail our ARS Australia operational performance. The following overview of Australia is our premium service business, excluding the impact of the departing specialist, remains solid, demonstrating a 3% stimulated cycle growth in our key markets in FY18. We have recruited 7 new fertility specialists in FY18, bringing the total number of specialists in Australia to 85. Our stimulated cycles decreased by 11.9%, driven by the departure of the specialist. In FY18, our market share in our key markets for stimulated cycles decreased from 25.2% to 22.3%. Our frozen embryo transfers decreased by 4.5% as the decline in stimulated cycles has had a direct impact on frozen embryo transfers. And now for a deeper dive into the states. In Victoria, our stimulated cycle activity, excluding the impact from the departing specialist, increased by 4.2% in FY18 over PCP. In South Australia, our stimulated cycles increased by 2.2% during FY18, including an 18.4% increase in the second half due to new fertility specialists commencing. As a result, our market share has increased in FY18. In Queensland, our premium service business, we maintained our stimulated cycle volumes in FY18 over FY17, notwithstanding the disruption of a bulk bill service provider. As a result, our market share has increased in the second half of 2018. In New South Wales, our market share decreased due to the transition of the Mossman Clinic to a premium service clinic. And in Tasmania, the IVF clinic, where we own a 35% minority holding, is demonstrating strong growth and has gained market share in FY18. If you turn to page 17, I'll focus in particular on the FY18 patient treatments were 14,553, which was down 9.4% on PCP, and our F18 market share for patient treatments in our key markets was 23.7%. Our stimulated cycles in key markets has declined by 0.6% in FY18 over the prior corresponding period. Our view is that the long-term stimulated cycle growth will be approximately 2%. It is important to note that in our key markets, first half growth was 5.7%, while the second half of 18, there was a decline of 6.7%. Turning to our diagnostic performance, diagnostics continues to grow as we build our in-house capabilities and leverage our ultrasound footprint. NIPT volumes increased by 32.4% from 9,834 to 13,017, of which now 99.1% were performed in-house compared to a prior corresponding period of 37.3%. This has enhanced our ultrasound service offering. NIPT revenue contributed an additional $2.4 million and earnings are in line with expectations. Pre-implantation genetic screening diagnosis decreased by 14.4%, which is commensurate with the decline of IVF-stimulated cycles. Penetration rates of stimulated cycles remains stable at 19.1%. Ultrasound scan volumes increased by 0.9%, with the second half delivering a 1.8% growth on PCP. Turning to our international performance, a key highlight of our ARS international EBITDA grew 50.2% and now represents 9.9% of group EBITDA. ARS revenues increased by 40.5% as stimulated cycles increased by 23.2%. Total patient treatments increased by 24.2%. Our EBITDA margin increased by 2.7% to 43% as incremental volumes leverage the cost base. We have established a new state-of-the-art facility in KL, which provides the capacity to meet growth in demand and deliver a really positive customer experience. We have recruited a new experienced fertility specialist to support long-term growth and succession planning, bringing the total specialist to 6 in Malaysia. And our international business development manager continues to review opportunities with a particular focus on expansion of fertility and diagnostic services in Asia Pacific. I'll now hand over to Michael Knaap to take us through the financial overview.
Thank you, David, and good morning to everyone. Firstly, let's cover off the P&L for FY18. As David advised, NPAT was down 27.9% for the year in a market that was challenged by a decline in industry volumes in the second half of 2018. However, our underlying business remains solid as we continue to invest in strategic growth initiatives and absorb one-off non-recurring costs. Our revenues decreased 2.9% to $150.6 million due to a specialist departure in Victoria and an overall market decline of 0.6% in stimulated cycles in the markets that we operate in. This impact was partially offset by an average price increase of 2% in Australia, strong international revenue growth of 40.5%, and increased non-invasive prenatal testing income to the tune of $2.4 million. Our EBITDA margin declined to 25.3% due to the leverage implications of the volume decline, whilst we also continued investing in our operations, people, science and technology, and international business development, ensuring we have a strong foundation for future growth. Furthermore, it is worthwhile noting that the one-off non-recurring costs include legal fees associated with the departing specialists, recruitment of key personnel, and organisational restructure. The total value of these one-off expenses was $1.2 million. Our income tax rate was 28.5% as we generate the benefit of R&D tax concession and a lower corporate tax rate in our Malaysian business of 24%. Moving on to the revenue analysis. We have had an adverse impact in our revenues as a result of a departed specialist to the tune of $12.3 million. Other more minor drivers of revenue decline were the ARS market decline and repositioning our Mossman clinic from a low cost to a full service clinic. However, the underlying market share growth and average pricing increase contributed to an additional $5.5 million in revenue, whilst our international business contributed an additional $2.6 million and our diagnostics business contributed an incremental $2.8 million of revenue. If we take a look at the expenditure analysis on slide 14, our cost base has predominantly increased by investment in strategic and operational growth initiatives and one-off costs. There was $1.8 million expenditure increase that came from general inflationary costs, impact from an increase in the scientific enterprise agreement and other EBA and wage inflation, and also annual property increases. This was partly offset by other efficiency-based reductions. $1.7 million direct expenditure increase to deliver our in-house NIPT offering, which generated an additional $2.4 million of revenue to our organisation. Another $1.3 million direct expenditure was invested to support the new Malaysian clinic and the capacity required to support growth and demand. We can continue to explore opportunities offshore with another $300,000 invested in business development activities and resources. There was another $1.2 million increase due to one-off costs, as I've previously outlined. As we take a look at capital management on slide 15, our net debt to equity ratio was stable at 56.4% at 30th of June 2018 versus the prior year at 56.3% on 30th of June 2017. Our total syndicated long-term debt facility that we have in place has a blend of 3-, 4-, and 5-year term debt, with the first tranche expiring in financial year 2020. We have debt capacity of $57 million to support strategic growth opportunities. All of our capital management metrics are comfortably compliant with our banking covenants, with our leverage ratio at 2.46 times, significantly better than our banking covenant at less than 3.5 times, our interest cover at 11.1 times, which is nearly 4 times greater than the banking covenant, which is greater than 3 times. Our capital return metrics, although reduced, are still strong, with our return on equity at 12.8% and return on assets at 7.3%. In addition, we declared a 2.6 cent fully franked final dividend, bringing total FY18 dividend per share to 6 cents, which has broadly moved in line with our earnings performance. The payout ratio is 65.9%, which lies in the mid-range of our dividend policy. If we look at slide 16 on cash flow, our net operating cash flow post-tax was stable at $25.9 million, which supported our capital investments and dividend payments. Monash IVF continues to have excellent cash flow generation with a 93.3% pre-tax earnings conversion, slightly up on the prior year. We supported a CapEx program of $6.6 million for the year, focused on enhancements to patient management systems, scientific equipment upgrades, and a new ARS service centre on the Gold Coast. The financing activities included $18.6 million of fully franked dividend payments during the year, with funding cost at $3.6 million. In addition, our free cash flow increased 2.1% to $19.3 million for the year. I'll now hand you back to David to cover off the strategy and the outlook.
Thanks, Michael. We continue to focus on our strategic roadmap to drive growth and create sustainable shareholder value. Our four priorities remain unchanged, but very specifically, we will focus on our premium fertility offering for women and also men, including holistic fertility solutions. We will increase at the integration of our fertility and diagnostics operations, establish a more balanced business portfolio across Australia, increasing our focus in the underpenetrated markets, and pursue international opportunities with a particular focus on expansion of fertility and diagnostic services in Asia Pacific. We also continue to focus on our operating priorities of scientific leadership, clinical excellence, and customer experience. Scientific leadership, we will harmonise our scientific practices, expand our diagnostic services, and enhance our R&D capabilities. From a clinical excellence perspective, we continue to strengthen our partnerships with our fertility specialists. We also continue to recruit new fertility specialists and harmonise our clinical practices. And from a customer experience perspective, we will optimise our brand positioning, enhance and integrate our omni-channel strategy, and establish a national donor program. Our FY 2019 outlook is we anticipate delivering NPAT growth in FY 19 on prior corresponding period. However, first half 19 NPAT is expected to decline by approximately 15% on PCP, as first half 18 included one quarter of ARS activity from the departed specialist. Thank you. We'll now open the line to questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star and then two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before you ask your question. Your first question comes from Sean Laaman from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Just like to ask the first question on fiscal 19 guidance. To get a bit of growth on fiscal 18 for net profit implies that, percentage number uptick in the second half is quite steep given the 15% decline in the first half. Would you be able to give us some colour around expectations in the second half of fiscal 19 and what will drive that uplift?
Sure. Hi, Sean. Thank you for the question. Look, we're looking at obviously a price increase coming through for the full year of 3%. We have strong momentum in South Australia, ultrasound and KL in particular. We continue to focus on our operating priorities, and we'll also get the benefit of new doctors that have commenced in FY18 in South Australia, New South Wales and KL. And we also, you know, continue to increase our focus on marketing effectiveness and our omni-channel strategy.
Sure. Thank you, David. And just one follow-up, just on the key doctor departure. I mean, have you been able to, map pretty well, the referral patterns around that doctor leaving, and how confident in this second half just reported that you're looking at, in want of a better term, a clean period?
I think that in the second, I believe that we are looking at in FY19, in the second half, we are looking at a clean period.
Right. Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chris Kallos from Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my questions. Firstly, just to follow on the specialist question, would I be right in saying the non-compete clause expires in September next month? And if so, what does that mean for volumes back in your areas?
Yeah, Chris, it's Michael here. You are right. The non-compete clause expires at the end of September. But I would highlight that the departing specialist is currently participating in this market, although it is in Geelong. So we have got some volume decline in that first half guidance statement of being 15% down, but we expect the second half of 18 to be more positive, given Lynn has been operating in this market for the last 8 months now, albeit in Geelong.
Okay, so you don't see that scaling up towards, in any way, increasing the threat to your existing business?
No, look, we anticipated it was probably going to be more of an impact in the second year of Lynn's departure, but the reality is that a lot of the impact has been brought forward because she has continued to participate in the Victorian market. So we've taken a lot of the hit in FY18. We're still one quarter to work through, which is the first quarter in FY19, which is a part of why our guidance is where it is.
Okay, and the second question is, can you give a breakdown of how much ultrasound is as a percentage of the total revenue?
No, we don't break that out, sorry.
Okay, worth trying. so on CapEx guidance, you talk major works now complete. What should we be looking for in this coming year?
I think, a number for our CapEx, when you considering the operational priorities and maintenance CapEx, is probably going to be around that $6 to $7 million number.
Okay. And just in the South Australian market, historically that's had a high percentage of salaried specialists. Yeah, and you mentioned new specialists coming on board. Can you perhaps give an update on what the percentage of the specialist cohort is now still salaried?
A large percentage is still salaried. A large percentage is still salaried, but as we bring on new doctors, the intention is for them to be more on a fee-for-service arrangement.
I think 2 years ago you quoted 25%. Is it still up around that level?
It's still around that level, yes, that's right. As far across the whole organisation, is salaried.
Yep. And just one other question. Primary healthcare has flagged entry into day hospitals. That would suggest an expansion of their IVF business. How do you see the threat of them moving up into the full service business, given their extra capacity and capabilities?
At this stage, we're seeing them as a competitor in the low cost business where we don't participate. I think that my perspective is it'll be very difficult to reposition themselves in the marketplace given our premium offering. So we just keep a note of that and we wait to see what they actually do.
And just the last one, tax guidance, is that 28.5% effective looking forward?
Yeah, Chris, it's around that sort of 28 to 29% given the reduced rate in KL and the R&D benefit that we continually get.
Great, that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from David Stanton at CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my questions. Perhaps I could start by asking low intervention as a percentage of total volume in Australia, please.
Yeah, low intervention is around about 2% of total volume. A very small part, and it's only one clinic in Brisbane, David.
Okay. Regarding Dr. Burmeister's patients, in 2018, what do you think your retention rate has been of the volume that walked out the door when she left?
So the retention rate in the first half was reasonable, probably about 1 in 3. It softened to 1 in 5 early in the new year, but it's even less than that now as the specialist has gained momentum and started operating in this particular market.
And I guess that begs the question, you know, how can you improve that going forward? Or you just can't?
Well, we continue to work with those patients that we have, and we continue to try and retain those as best as we can. Our opportunity is really about growing the Victorian market and not just simply trying to retain LIMS patients.
Fair enough. And David, now that you've had a look at the business and been in the chair for a little while, I mean, the decision not to get into low intervention, you've made it clear that you're going to stick in the premium end. What's driven that decision?
I've done some analysis over the last 6 months. I don't think you can never say never, but from every which way we look at it, based on our current business model, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to make money from that business based on our current business model. And as Michael said, we have our MyIVF business in Queensland, which is kind of like a hybrid between the high intervention and low intervention, and you know that's proves to be quite challenging. So, you know, never say never, but at this stage we're going to be very focused on the premium end of the market.
Fair enough. And finally from me, you mentioned a balanced portfolio looking forward. I mean, does that include inorganic growth potentially, and in which states would you be thinking? Is Western Australia one of them?
Look, I think it absolutely includes inorganic growth. You know, Western Australia, to answer your question very specifically, is clearly an opportunity, albeit somewhat a small market. But the big opportunities are really in New South Wales and Queensland for us.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back for closing remarks.
Thank you for your time today, and Michael and I look forward to meeting with some of you over the coming days. Thank you.